It's 3 minutes past 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, and once again, it's time for another episode of Uncensored with Penny Faree.
Hello, Dave, and a warm welcome to all our listeners tuning in today. Today, we're shining a light on a critical issue that's affecting both our environment and the health of our community. Two illegal waste sites in Sharkers Kraal, located just meters from residential homes and local businesses, have been operating for several years now, posing an ever-growing risk to the surrounding communities and our environment. Despite official warnings and threats of legal action, these sites have continued to operate with impunity. In 2020, the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Economic Development, Tourism and Environmental Affairs issued a compliance notice to the dump site owners, ordering them to cease operations immediately and implement a 90-day rehabilitation plan. This directive was clearly ignored, with mountains of waste now dominating the landscape as these operations continue unchecked. Joining me today to discuss this alarming situation is Brian Pottinger, chairman of the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association's Environmental Subcommittee and a member of DOCRA's Executive Committee. Brian, thank you for being here and welcome to the show.
Thank you for the invitation, Penny.
Yeah. So in South Africa, waste dumping is regulated by 13 different pieces of legislation, and violating environmental laws is a criminal offense. And yet, despite these laws making it illegal for dump waste to operate in unlicensed areas, it seems authorities are struggling to enforce them effectively, and they've been slow to react. So I know DOCRA has taken specific action in recent months, the DOCRA Environmental Committee, pertaining to these two dump sites. Can you tell us a little bit about what has transpired in recent months?
Thank you, Penny. Yes, that's right. These illegal dump sites have obviously created and continue to create a health menace to local residents and to broader communities. So earlier this year, for 3 months, the DOCRA subcommittee, together with other associated parties, and intrepid individuals, including yourself.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, were involved in a long investigation into these sites. Our view was that we didn't simply want to send out a WhatsApp and say we're upset.
Yeah.
Our view was, let's get the details. And that was a complicated and long process. We went to deed searches. We went to get visits, to get pictures, yeah, documentary evidence of it. We got Google Maps historic sites to show the growth of this. We were out at 2 in the morning, Sunday mornings, filming this stuff. We put together a composite document and we handed it to the relevant authorities. And we've sought to keep contact with them since, in the hope that there would be effective action taken. And I think it's important to make it clear that DOCRA is not a prosecutory authority.
Yeah.
It cannot do that. All it can do is investigate, collate, and hand over to the relevant authorities. That's what we did, and we think it was a comprehensive dossier.
Yeah.
The results up to now have been unspectacular, because the latest information has that there's still illegal burning going on.
Yeah. And especially on Sunday, some of the residents reported there was early hours of the morning, there was a massive fire on the site, and it was causing a lot of air pollution around the communities who were affected, and there was a lot of complaints lodged. You know, we visited those sites, and we ventured out through the open field, and at one of the sites, which is located on Cemetery Lane in Sharkers Kraal, while we were there, we saw three flatbed trucks which arrived in the field, and while we were standing there, there were another two that also arrived, and I approached one of the drivers, and I asked him if he knew that it wasn't a formal dumping zone, and whether he realized that what he was doing was illegal. And while this was all happening, there were a lot of waste pickers going through the waste. And obviously, he didn't want to answer my questions. And then I approached another truck, which was a garden waste, a refuse truck, and they were busy offloading stuff from gardens. And he claimed that it was cheaper to do the dump there than go to the formal listed site, and also, he wasn't aware that it was illegal. So there's a lot of local businesses supporting this site. And what has happened, though, because it's unregulated, it's not properly, lined, we've got a lot of toxins that are leaching through to the groundworks and creating a very, very impactful environmental disaster. And I did reach out to Dow Jones. She is the chairman of the Dolphin Coast Conservancy. And I just wanted to ask you what the environmental consequences of these illegal sites are. Should they be allowed to continue to operate? And this is what she had to say to that. Take a listen to this.
I'm really pleased that you're highlighting this issue, Penny. We've both been concerned about it for a long while now. And the authorities are aware of it and have attempted over the years to close it down. However, I think that a lot of local residents need to be made aware and ask for proof of where their garden refuse and sometimes mixed-use refuse is actually going. In other words, ask for a receipt that it's going to a registered landfill site and not to an illegal dump site, which is what the Sharkers Crawl landfill site is. It is an unlined, which is a very dangerous issue. It's just a valley into which some opportunistic people have begun dumping rubbish. And when that landfill site gets too high, it is burnt to reduce the height. So whatever's in that site, whether it's plastic, organic matter, whatever it is, and some of the things that go in there are very, very undesirable, believe me, they get burnt off. And the consequent fallout from that burn off affects everybody around, not least of all the people who live around the landfill site. Human beings around a site like that is a definite no-no. But it also affects the greater community because, as we know, air quality can spread for quite a few kilometres. So let's say 5 kilometres, which would increase the coverage for the residents. The other issue is groundwater. So having an unlined site like that means that whatever leaches out, which means everything liquidizes when it rots, so that untreated leachate seeps into the groundwater. And the site is very close to the Umhlali River, and that water will affect everything in the area just as much as any kind of pollution will do. So it's a very, very unhealthy issue all around, and it involves different authorities. So it's environmental and pollution and water and sanitation. So we need to ask residents to please make sure that when you get somebody to take away your refuse, or when you are disposing of refuse yourself, that you go to a registered landfill site and not to an unregistered, unlicensed landfill site, which needs to be closed down yesterday. We know that, but it hasn't happened. So I just thank you for highlighting it, and I hope everybody respects that we need to work together to help protect the environment. Thanks, Penny.
Yeah, you know, I reached out to KwaZulu Municipality's Communication Director, Sifiso Zulu, to ask him if the municipality was aware of it. Now, just note, I first reported this in early 2021. I even shot like a terrible Facebook live video. My apologies if everyone goes there and watches it. But just to make everyone aware of how large scale the problem was. And I got the environmentalists there. They even did, they did a bucket test, an air bucket test at that site to just show how harmful the air was when the burning goes down. I mean, Brian, you remember, we bought caps there, Communities Against Pollution, because we wanted him, pilot, to use his air monitor to possibly take a reading to see how noxious the air is there. So it's a problem that's been the officials from both sides, municipal level and provincial. They've been aware of it since 2020. And we are in 2024. I went past it on Sunday. The site is massive. It's just grown. It's almost like, I don't think they've compacted it and they haven't burnt it recently, because it's huge at the moment. And it's very worrying. Do you think there's a possible lack of political will? We've got Green Hawks, possibly.
You know, I'm just sitting here on the outside, because essentially it's in, your Dave. Show, Penny. But I can't believe how polite everyone's being about this absolute disaster that's being allowed to happen. There's all sorts of insinuations and allegations being made off the record because it would appear that at least one connected individual, possibly a ward councillor, is involved in the matter, and no one is prepared to actually take any action. So, you know what? You get what you deserve. If you're not prepared to take any action, dear listeners, then we're going to continue to breathe this carcinogenic mess until many of us are in hospital, and then it's too late. But if you're okay with that, then I'm okay with that. I just can't believe that you are. I know that you're not. So what are we going to do about it? No, that's the point.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a video, and I'm going to post it onto the radio site. Mm-hmm,
but you see, here's the problem.
Just to let everyone know the scale of what you're talking about.
Have you seen those memes on Facebook and Instagram? I'm South African. Of course I like braaivleis and biltong, and I'm South African. You know another thing? I'm South African. I do nothing when these issues come to the light, because I'm expecting someone else to do it. So what do? We elect ward councillors and we pay them 45,000 rand a month to represent us. And what is the ward councillor doing about this, by the way? Who is the ward councillor under which this falls?
The Sharkers Kraal ward councillor is Dushi.
Dushi Govender. Yeah. Okay, now here's the thing. Dear listener, do you have his details?
I have his details.
Okay, let's put this up on the podcast that follows. Yeah. We're going to give you dear Dushi Govender's details so that you can contact him and I can contact him and let's all contact him. And ultimately, if he then fails to do what he's elected to do, we then literally demand that he gets removed. How about that for some action? What do you think about that, Brian? You're a man of immense respectability and import. How does that sound to you?
Yes, flattery will get you everywhere. Thank you very much.
But will it get rid of the rotten tomatoes among us?
I think that is a fantastic idea. And I just want to pick up one of the points that you made very, very strongly. Is that this is not an ethereal thing that's dealt with somewhere in stratosphere. This is something that is dealt with by people who every morning ingest that gunk. And unless people are prepared to stand up and do something about it, it'll just get worse. It's no good just simply sending the app.
Yeah.
Not even perhaps giving on a radio talk and talking about it. You have to go and take your ownership of the problem by a simple thing like phoning the fire brigade. They have the right to issue fines. Going to the Umhlali police station, laying a charge. It is within our power to do this. Collectively, we can have a lot more impact than a couple of, noble souls trying to do what they can. I love your idea about getting the councillor of the ward. Let's have his views. And what does he plan to do to close this menace down in the interests of his residents?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know, when we went to the site, there's a lot of homes just littered around there's two dump sites. The one dump site, the second dump site, when I went to, there was a dog and I didn't have my taser or my pepper spray, so I was a bit reticent of going right in. That was the second time. But the stench that greets you, it's just unbearable. And I was there just for a while. Can you imagine those communities that are living right next to it, the impact that it's having on their lives? And, there's all sorts of health issues that are connected to living next to a landfill site.
And something, I just want to come in here and say to anyone listening to this and listening to the repeat broadcast, which is going to get shared widely as these things generally are. You've got Brian Pottinger and Penny Faree, both of whom are acting in their independent personal capacity because they care. Don't make the mistake of thinking these are paid officials doing a job. They're doing it because they care. They're prepared to stand up and be counted. And it's extremely, I think, irresponsible of anyone listening to this taking offense to simply sit on the fence and not support their initiative and get involved. Because ultimately, and this is the real thing, we tend, as I've beaten this drum before, as South Africans, to sit back and wait for someone else to do something for us. We get fooled into believing that our politicians, our leaders in the political sphere, are going to stand up and fight this for us. They will only do that if you have insisted, based on the fact that if they don't deliver, you're going to get rid of them. And ultimately, that's about the only threat we've got. So I'm urging you now, you and I and all of us together collectively can make a difference. We need to make a difference. Yeah. All you got to do is pop along to any of our local hospitals and go and ask them. Ask any medical professional, what is the consequence of breathing the kind of air? And understand that this is the jewel of the Dolphin Coast. The Brand Bolito population are breathing the worst air. In fact, Cap was telling us the other day that in certain instances, on certain days when they've measured it, it's worse than Beijing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a reality. Yeah. We're breathing poison.
Yeah.
Because of lazy individuals that are dumping irresponsibly and some evil swine who's taking the rand value
and
of
it's
that
big.
For
you
himself.
Know, we were there for just a short while, and that time, more than five trucks just came in, offloaded the rubble, whatever. There was when I walked around, there was a lot of building rubble. That was a shame on the builders who are trying to find an easy way out as well. A lot of landscapers. I actually phoned
one of the builders. Penny and Brian, and anyone listening.
Yeah,
I found a bit of an illegal dump just close to the dunes, this new development here. Someone had dumped their rubbish. I went through it until I found an envelope with a name and address. And I then contacted the name and on the address, and I said, are you aware? And she was mortified because it was her ex-husband that had cleared out their stuff and taken it. It wasn't her. It was her ex-husband. Yeah. He was. So I got hold of the ex-husband. And he said, no, he had given the job to a local contractor who had done exactly.
And that's what Di Jones said. You must insist on a receipt and make sure
that's never going to happen. It's when you find who's done the dumping and
the
You absolutely tax them to get rid of the mess. Then they do.
Well,
they then engage the service because they've been caught and they've been named and shamed. That's the only way we're going to get anywhere.
Well, there's no compliance. You know, people getting away with it. You know, one of the trucks had a very well-known local company, very well respected local company.
Who was
so
that?
I'm not naming and shaming
you
them.
See,
you
that's
know
the
why?
Problem.
No, you know why? Because I phoned them and I said, you know what? Are you aware that this is what happened? And they actually sent someone there and they picked it up. And I said, you know what? The next time, I'm giving you a green card and I'm taking your word for it that you didn't realize that your drivers were doing that. But the next time, I will name and shame. But I think as a community, you know, it's impacting all of us. Our environment is so critical to our generation. And, Salt Rock Beach, that river that flows into the sea there, by Salt Rock Sea, that is the same river that's getting impacted by the ground, the leachant that is coming from that, from the top of the Sharker's Kraal, going all the way there. Now, I know if they did some tests there, it would be horrific to see what's actually going on there.
It affects in the ways that you don't even begin to understand. Yeah. It's affecting, the kids that are tomorrow's leaders are being adversely affected today by the quality of the environment that we're paying an absolute fortune to enjoy, to protect them and to nurture them. And it's pointless to turn a blind eye to what we can't really see, because it's absolutely there and it's real, and the proof and the evidence is there.
And
for
it's grown. If I could actually tell you how big it's gotten, it's not a little small site, and that it's impactful. And I think when the burn happens there, it's really impacting everybody.
Okay, so
I think there's another issue as well, is that one continues while these burns continue, they become subterranean as well, and you get a certain critical tipple of a point where basically your entire subterranean area starts burning. Those burns take traditionally between 2 to 3 years to put out. They are major. And this is, I gravely fear, is what is happening when you have a site that is so large. Penny, I mean, you're right, the most terrifying thing I saw was the Google historic maps showing that site from 2001 to 2000. No, it is actually earlier
than
2000.
I'll post them to show you how it's grown significantly.
And that was to me a huge wake-up call.
And I took the environmentalist from the south there, Deze. He's very vocal. And he looked at it and they said, no, the National Prosecuting Authority is going to go. The Green Hawks got them involved. Everyone, got rolled up. They did tests. We publicized it in the local media. And then from 2021... we now 24 and it's just gotten worse. So I can't understand how there's been no accountability, nothing from the local municipality and the provincial department. And these laws, I mean, we've got such brilliant laws as a country, but the problem is we fail dismally to put those laws into practice. And that is the issue at the moment. Those people need to be brought to book.
Okay, and we'll send a copy of this this to Francois Rogers. Is he the right man, do you think, ultimately, in the provincial council?
Strangely enough, we got the DA shadow minister, and in that time, Heinz de Boer was here. He did a site visit after the report. It was covered. He did a statement as well for the local media. He put out a statement on how, you know, he was shocked about it and the impact, but nothing happened.
Okay, well, now it's gone public, and we will now absolutely follow up, make sure that we send to the right folk. But please, if you're listening to this and you're as outraged as I am, feel free to share it widely and to contact the local ward councillor. The information will appear on the podcast. And just literally do what you can to make a difference, because ultimately you become the eyes and ears of God when you can see something is out of order. If you walk on by, you fail us all.
Yeah. You know, Mother Teresa, she said it so well. She says that everybody could sweep their own doorstep, the whole world would be clean.
There we go.
And isn't that profound?
See, we solve the world's problems on the afternoon show already.
Bye, everyone.
My friend Brian Pottinger just smiles. He's a wise man. And Penny Furry, have we reached the end of another episode of Uncensored?
Of course. And, you know, I think we need to...
I feel I've had a catharsis.
We have to support and advocate for the change. And we are supporting DOCRA. We will update you. It was a comprehensive investigation that Brian put together on behalf of DOCRA. And we're going to be following up on whether the province is actually instigating a court action against these landfill site owners.
And there we leave it for today. Brian Pottinger, Penny Furee, another episode of Uncensored. Penny will be back in a week with more. But if this episode has moved you, do take the initiative. Get involved. Make a difference. Thanks, Penny. Thanks, Brian.
Bye, Brian.
Thanks so much for the invitation.